Welcome to Journal Club for March 6th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In today's paper, the authors show us how mosquitoes are being used to help measure and preserve the biodiversity of habitats. This is the first episode from our newest co-host, Kirsten Joseph. Kirsten is a science communicator and ecologist who loves to share stories about our weird and wonderful world with others. She studied ecology at the University of Calgary, researched insects at PUCE Quito, and now works in SciComm, mainly through writing and podcasts. She'll be covering articles like this one on animal science, plant science, and life science. Without further ado, mosquito-derived ingested DNA as a tool for monitoring terrestrial vertebrates within a peri-urban environment.
A researcher in a lab carefully extracts DNA from a tiny mosquito. It turns out that the blood ingested by this pesky little insect contains a treasure trove of genetic information that can help us do incredible things. I know, straight out of Jurassic Park, right? But hear me out. Even though we can't use the DNA found inside a mosquito to de-extinct dinosaurs, it might just help us save other species from undergoing the same fate. For example, in this paper, the authors use it to map out the vertebrate species in an area in the name of conservation. In today's episode, we'll explore the importance of biodiversity, then we'll look at traditional methods of vertebrate surveys and talk about what makes them so hard. Finally, we'll tell you how iDNA, invertebrate-ingested DNA, can make it easier. In our ever-developing world, many species are under threat of extinction. From habitat loss to exploitation of resources, hunting, wildlife trade, and more, we are unfortunately the greatest threat to other animals on this planet. Australia, where this research was done, is disproportionately impacted by biodiversity loss. Of the many unique species found in this country, 14% have been lost since 1788. Another 40% are considered vulnerable, endangered, or critically endangered. There are many challenges that need to be addressed around the biodiversity crisis, but a major one is preserving suitable habitat for endangered wildlife. Many species require particular habitats in order to thrive. Therefore, we need to protect and preserve land that meets their needs. We need to invest our resources in areas that are most suitable for target species. But how do we figure out which areas are worth investing in? By understanding the animal communities that already exist there. This might sound simple at first, but surveying for animals, vertebrates in particular, is actually extremely labor and resource intensive. So how can we do it better? Unfortunately, properly understanding the diversity of species in an area is not as simple as it would seem. You see, animals have an incredible range of sizes and behavior that make it basically impossible to catalog them using a single method. Vertebrates can be very small or very large, nocturnal or diurnal, terrestrial or arboreal, and so on. So, if you want to understand the vertebrate diversity in an area, you have to try to employ several survey methods that can capture all of that diversity. Let's briefly review some of the traditional survey methods and explore why each one alone is insufficient in biodiversity studies. There's visual observation, collection of traces, capture, and camera traps. Visual observation. Though birdwatching can be a lovely hobby, doing visual surveys for vertebrates is tough work. Surveys must be done at various times of day, mainly dusk and dawn, through all kinds of habitat. Not only that, but the people collecting the data must be experts at identifying the animals that they see. Ideally, photographs are also taken for later identification, but this isn't always possible. Even then, ID from a photograph is not always certain. Collection of traces. Collecting scat and fur for DNA identification is non-invasive and can be more accurate, but there's a lot of luck involved in finding snagged hairs and sufficiently intact droppings. This is also still resource-intensive and requires a lot of field trips. Capture. Capture vertebrates in diversity surveys is not only difficult and resource-intensive, but also has ethical implications as animals can be harmed during the process. They might even die later due to the stress. Camera traps. In recent years, camera traps have helped enormously. However, they are still biased towards large terrestrial vertebrates, where smaller cryptic creatures are either not captured at all or are hard to identify. Besides that, though it is less intensive than doing surveys yourself, hiking to and from remote locations to change batteries and retrieve memory cards, as well as processing hundreds, more likely thousands, of images is no easy task. Though there are some great AI programs making imaging processing easier, it's far from perfect. So, what is a better alternative or additional tool that we can add to vertebrate surveys to make them better and easier? Enter iDNA, a subset of eDNA. With the ever-improving accessibility and cost efficiency of molecular tools, environmental DNA has become an incredibly useful tool for sampling diversity. Predominantly used in surveys of substrates such as water and soil, eDNA studies take said substrate and extract and sequence the DNA present. This DNA comes from everything from particles of feces and urine to skin cells, and it can tell researchers what is present in an area. iDNA is this method applied specifically to material consumed by invertebrates. iDNA usually works by collecting invertebrates and sampling the DNA from blood-sucking or hematophagous insects. Additionally, some studies use carrion flies, necrophagus, or corpse-eating, and there's even work going on to extract DNA from coprophagous, feces-eating insects too. So, why is the concept of iDNA so great? Well, insects in general are a lot easier to collect than vertebrates, and from a single insect, you can often get DNA from multiple species. A mosquito, for example, may bite multiple animals in one day, and a dung beetle or carrion-eating fly may have a particularly busy day as nature's cleanup crew. Most of the iDNA studies up until now have worked with leeches and blowflies, returning promising results where a pretty impressive diversity was uncovered. However, these kinds of invertebrates thrive in well-protected areas with lots of vegetation. For conservation purposes, we often need to survey less well-protected areas. An example of this are peri-urban environments, which are areas between protected areas and various human developments. These in-between areas actually end up being important habitats for many endangered species like koalas and southern brown bandicoots. With that in mind, researchers have started to work with iDNA from an insect that, much to our delight, we can find just about everywhere: mosquitoes. Apart from having the advantage of being numerous, mosquitoes are fairly easy to capture. The DNA in blood consumed by mosquitoes also decays relatively quickly. And this might seem like a bad thing at first, but it actually gives us better accuracy. The quickly decaying DNA means that the animal was no further than around 280 meters away when it was bit. Okay, so let's say you've now collected some mosquitoes and preserved them. What's next? Once DNA is collected from a substrate, in this case the blood that a mosquito had for lunch, that DNA must be extracted, amplified, sequenced, and compared against genomes that we already know. A popular method for DNA amplification is PCR. In PCR, extracted DNA is heated so that it separates into two strands. Next, short synthetic DNA fragments, called primers, are added. Using the primers as templates, desired DNA is amplified through multiple rounds of DNA synthesis. Once there's enough of the DNA, it can be sequenced and we can figure out what it belongs to. So let's get into what the authors did and how it turned out. The authors set up light traps to collect mosquitoes and see what level of vertebrate diversity they could survey in just 4 days. Mosquitoes were collected daily, preserved, and brought to the lab for individual DNA extraction. They ended up with a total of 119 samples this way. I won't go too deep into their molecular methodology, but essentially each individual mosquito sample had DNA extracted, ran through PCR, and sequenced. Once the DNA was sequenced, it was put into groups and compared to genomic libraries of known species to look for matches. So, what did they find? Well, from the 119 samples, the researchers were able to reveal a variety of birds and mammals of different sizes and behaviors. In total, they found 10 bird species and 6 mammals that could be confidently identified. From a tiny 20-gram eastern yellow robin to a 1,000-kilogram cow, these vertebrates were nocturnal and diurnal, terrestrial and arboreal, as well as native and non-native. As far as biodiversity surveys go, this is pretty amazing. It would have been pretty much impossible to get this range of vertebrates using any of the other traditional survey methods alone. The authors were also able to get a general idea of the makeup of the animal community, as some species showed up in the iDNA retrieved from multiple mosquitoes, while others only showed up once. Not surprisingly, domestic non-native animals like dogs and cats were found much more often than the native ones, like the bush rat. Overall, this study demonstrated how iDNA is an effective way to survey for a range of vertebrates with different body sizes and behaviors using fewer resources than traditional methods. Additionally, the authors were able to get a decent understanding of the vertebrate community in the area, which can help to guide conservation decisions and actions in the future. The knowledge provided by these biodiversity surveys can help us pinpoint key habitats and better delegate our resources so we ensure we are making the biggest possible impact. Once we are sure that an area is home to native species that need protection, as well as non-native species that may be causing them harm, we can advocate for resources to be used towards preserving and improving that habitat so that they can thrive. Ideally, future studies can do a few more things in order to capture more biodiversity, such as going for longer periods of time, collecting more individuals, using multiple insect species as iDNA vectors, and pairing with other survey methods, especially camera trapping. Overall, I think this is really exciting, and that the use of iDNA is a huge step for biodiversity studies on both smaller and larger scales. This tool will be an enormous aid in understanding vertebrate communities and how we can better protect them. If you want to see which animals they found or get into the details of their molecular methodology, I definitely recommend that you download the paper. I hope you found this as neat as I did and enjoyed today's episode of Journal Club. I'm Kirsten Joseph. Thanks for listening.
Today's episode of Journal Club was written and performed by Kirsten Joseph, with writing support from Sean Hayward and Mina Reckman. It was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Digg signing off. See you tomorrow.